Jones buying a neighboring ranch and inquiring about us before he bought it. I don't know what that adds up to either. It's kind of screwy, to say the least.
By all reports, he showed a consistent interest in Claudia Barber. And she never knew him.
Well, this afternoon, she crossed her heart on that one, the way she used to when she was a little kid.
But was he on the trail?
Well, I didn't see him.
She was hysterical when you got back to her?
Yeah.
Well, how long had you left her alone?
Oh, 5 minutes. Gibbs is working on his car, and I left Claude on the hillside and rode down.
I see. Then when you came back?
She called to me. She was scared, Nicky. There's no mistake about that. Claudia was good and scared.
And from? What had he done, did she say?
Well, she used the word hatred. She said he sat looking at her with hatred, then wheeled his horse and rode away.
How much did you hear?
Well, Nicky, I think I heard his horse. I think he was actually there, or someone was. He certainly wasn't at his house when we called there earlier. We hammered on the door. The place was shut up tight.
I can't add it up, Cliff.
And I got some stuff from Gibbs that sounds a little odd. Maybe it's reasonable. Frome works at night. He rides the trails at night.
Why?
Nobody knows.
What sort of work?
Nobody knows that either. Every month he sends out 500 or 600 letters, according to Gibbs. And he ought to know. And 2 or 3 times a year he gets a batch of checks and he banks them. And that's that. Ranchers around here are dizzy trying to guess what he's up to.
Writes letters at night?
Apparently. Hey, look, Nicky, I'm about as hungry as a guy can be and still stand up.
Sorry.
I can't remember if I had lunch. Matter of fact, I can't even remember breakfast.
Come along. Mrs. Arrow made a medicine stew tonight that got her the local Academy Award.
Well, if it's still hot, she'll get another one. Oh, hey. It is a beautiful night, isn't it?
Yes, it's extraordinary country, Cliff.
Yeah. I don't hear the water wheel. Isn't it running?
Well, you hear that when you're a bit closer to the cabin.
Well, I'm going to make a suggestion, Nicky.
Yes?
I think we'd all be wise if we didn't ask Claude any more questions. And one of us had better make it a point to meet Frome and find out what's going on.
And Paul's going to do that tonight.
Oh? Oh, is that where he's gone?
Yes, he said if he didn't find you, he'd ride on over to Frome's.
Yeah. Listen. Oh, that's a sound to lull you to sleep.
Poor Claudia. Hasn't lulled her to sleep for many a night.
Clippers! Niggers!
Well, where are you, Father Barber?
Over here, on the porch.
Well, aren't you cold sitting out here this time of night?
Clippers, what is going on here?
Well, what's the matter, Dad?
Claudia raced in past me with barely a good evening. Paul has gone off somewhere. What in heaven's name are you all up to?
Well, Claude's horse went lame on us, Dad. That's why we're late.
You'd been to see this neighbor, Frome?
Well, he wasn't in. I haven't had anything to eat for the last 5 or 6 days, Dad. See you after a while.
The stew is excellent tonight, Clifford.
That's what I hear.
Nicholas, sit down. Now, what are you people keeping from me? Huh? Answer me, Nicholas. Where did Paul go in such a mysterious hurry right after dinner? Huh? Where is Paul?
Oh. There you are. I won't leave the tide here for long. I'm Paul Barber.
Oh, come in, Mr. Barber.
Thank you. Hey, you have a pleasant place here, Mr. Frome.
Thanks. Take a jacket?
Just put it down here. Nippy tonight.
Yes, isn't it?
Interrupting your work?
I was about to knock off for coffee. Will you have some?
Oh, thank you.
Pull up a chair to the fire there. I'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.
Put on another log if you like.
All right. I will.
You're 40 years older brother, aren't you?
That's right.
Cliff's the twin?
Yeah.
Cream, sugar?
Oh, black, if you please. You know my sister Claudia, Mr. Frome?
You'll find this a little strong. It's been on the stove, well, since about 6 o'clock, I'm afraid.
Well, there's an old French phrase that coffee should be noir comme le diable, chaud comme l'enfer, pur comme un ange, et doux comme l'amour.
Spanish is my language. That and a little English, but I recognize the devil.
Well, in my bad French, it's just that coffee should be black as the devil, hot as inferno, pure as an angel, and sweet as love.
Well, that's what this will be. Try it.
We've all been anxious to meet you, Mr. Frome. You bought this place about the same time my brother-in-law bought the Earl homestead, huh?
Did I?
Last August.
Mm-hmm.
We've been hoping you'd drop in.
Well, I keep odd hours, Mr. Barber. I was on a morning newspaper for a good number of years. Got in the habit of working at night.
Oh? San Francisco paper?
No. Why'd you ask that?
Our family home is in San Francisco.
In Seacliff.
That's right.
And you spend your summers usually at the Sky Ranch or down the peninsula near Woodside. Your father was once in a brokerage business, doing an occasional job for the government, Mr. Barber. Some branch of the State Department, I believe. You see, even out here in the wilderness, gossip does get around. More coffee?
The gossips haven't been so generous with information about you, Mr. Bro.
Coffee?
No, thank you. You familiar with San Francisco?
I? Well, I'm familiar with most cities, Mr. Barber. Till a year or so ago, I was a working newspaper man. No ties, no family connections. Moved about quite a lot.
Mr. Frome, I'll be quite frank with you.
I don't see why you shouldn't be.
But first, let me ask you a question. Have you ever known my sister Claudia?
Very odd, Mr. Barber, that you should ask me that.
Why?
I've come a long way to make an inquiry that might have been answered very quickly at the Lacey Ranch.
I beg your pardon?
Why don't you ask your sister Claudia if she ever knew me?
Mr. Frome, sometimes one must credit local gossip. We've been told repeatedly by people in Troy and ranches hereabouts that you inquired rather pointedly about the Barbers before you decided to buy this place.
Well, that's the way it's come to you, is it?
You pointedly inquired about Claudia Barber. Is that right?
Mr. Barber, I inquired about everybody in the countryside. I'd been looking for some time for what my friends call an ivory tower. I looked in Tennessee, in the Ozarks. Once I almost settled near Oxford, Maryland. I wanted an out-of-the-way place, because I'd seen a good deal, and, well, I didn't like what I saw. Everywhere I looked, I inquired about the people who'd be my neighbors. I had hoped to find a place where there'd be a minimum of social contacts.
Then you've never known my sister Claudia.
You place yourself in a rather unhappy position, haven't you, Mr. Barber? Let me tell you something. A year ago, when I was negotiating for this place, I walked one day to Eli Martin's office. That's the real estate man, you know, on Main Street, Troy. Well, I parked my car, turned toward Eli's office, and I bumped into a man and woman. Literally bumped into them. Their apologies all around was very awkward of me. Well, those people were your sister and your brother-in-law, Mr. and Mrs. Nicholas Lacey.
And?
If I had ever known Mrs. Lacey, I think perhaps she would have recognized me, don't you? We apologized to each other, and I went on to Martin's office. That, except for a meeting or two on the trail, chance passing, is the only time I've seen Mrs. Lacey since I came here.
I asked you a very forthright question, Mr. Frome.
Yes, you did.
Is it likely that I'll get a forthright answer?
Doesn't seem so, does it? Such a question might more properly be directed to Mrs. Lacey. She doesn't care to answer it. Then neither do I.
Thank you, Mr. Frome.
Quite welcome, sir. Let me help you with your jacket.
Thanks. I have it. Mr. Frome, encountering you has disturbed my sister very much.
I'm sorry.
She's honestly under the impression that she doesn't know you.
Honestly?
If she did know you somewhere, sometime, I'm sure she must have forgotten.
Hardly flattering, Mr. Barber.
Tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to ride over here with Claudia, Mr. Frome. About 3 o'clock. May I ask that you receive us?
Be rude of me not to, wouldn't it? If I'm at home.
Is anything likely to take you away?
Yeah, that door stinks. You know, that's one of the things I've been planning to do ever since I moved in here. Plane down this door. Yeah, it's surprising how many little chores there are when you take over an old place. Yeah, I'll plane this down tonight.
From?
Sir?
You will be at home tomorrow at 3.
At 3. Well, I'd rather imagine I'll be having breakfast at 3 o'clock, Mr. Barber.
Here?
Yes, Mr. Barber. Here.
You may expect us then. At 3.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Well, I rarely have visitors, Mr. Barber. That should be very interesting for me.
Just served a tray full of frosty, tinkling glasses of iced coffee, which brings up a question that's been in Cliff's mind.
Claude, there's something I've been dying to know about this coffee.
Really? It's what we always have, good old Chase and Sanborn.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, with Mrs. Arrow cooking the meals up here, it suddenly occurred to me at our first meal, what if she doesn't serve Chase and Sanborn? I knew Dad would have a fit.
Sure, that's so. With the nearest pound of Chase and Sanborn 70 miles away.
Well, luckily I thought of that before we left and brought several pounds with us.
And was Mrs. Errol angry about you for bringing your own coffee?
Yes, she was a little cool. So I explained to her that we Barbers have been drinking it practically ever since Mr. Chase met Mr. Sanborn. And I told her about its being a new blend and the wonderful flavor it has. And I told her what marvelous iced coffee she can make when there's all that extra flavor.
Well, you avoided a crisis. I watched Dad at that first meal. He picked up his cup very suspiciously as if it might explode. He took a very tiny sip. And then when he recognized the flavor, he beamed like a kid in a candy store.
What about Mrs. Errol? How did she like it?
Well, the next day she said to me, Mrs. Lacey, I've got to give you credit. This new Chase and Sanborn is the best coffee I've ever tasted.
And that's the truth, no doubt.
And then she paid me the biggest compliment of all. She said, and Mrs. Lacey, that's the first time I've learned anything about food from a city woman.
Yes, it's a wonderful experience when you get your first taste of Chase and Sanborn's new blend. It brings you a flavor that's wonderfully rich and so mellow. And that full-bodied flavor is especially important when you make iced coffee. It easily overcomes the dilution of the melting ice. Every pound of Chase and Sanborn your grocer has is this finer new blend. Ask for it tomorrow. You've just heard Chapter 6, Book 67 of One Man's Family, written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Blue Bonnet Margarine. Chapter 7, entitled Claudia Goes to Meet Her Past Reluctantly, will come to you next week at this same time. The wise homemaker will remember this. It pays to keep it in mind.
Remember the letter F-N-E. Flavor, nutrition, economy. Blue Bonnet margarine is all free. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
And what a wealth of nutrition you get in Blue Bonnet. No other spread for bread is richer in food energy, richer in vitamin A the whole year round. No wonder Blue Bonnet is so good for growing youngsters, the whole family. For here's what you get in only 3 half-ounce pats of Country Sweet Blue Bonnet. As much food energy as a medium lamb chop. As much precious vitamin A as you get in 3 glasses of milk. Or as much vitamin A as you get in 2 to 3 fresh eggs, plus vitamin E and other food essentials. Get Blue Bonnet tomorrow, made by the makers of Fleischmann's yeast. This week you save up to 37 cents a pound when you buy Blue Bonnet instead of the expensive spread. And Country Sweet Blue Bonnet is rich in nutrition, rich in energy.
Buy Blue Bonnet and get for E. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
One Man's Family comes to you from California.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.